الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم As human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many abilities. And we use those abilities in order to achieve certain goals. Now, among those abilities, which is very unique to a human being, is the ability to take their environment and to take those things that are basic resources and to manipulate them to make something new. So, for example, we have the ability to dig deep into the ground. From that, we extract various minerals, various metals, and we use that to make buildings. And that's one of the characteristics of a human being. They take what's in their environment, and using tools, they can develop various new things, which we call technology, we call them advancements. Now, if you look at how much human beings are able to produce through this mechanism, it's awe-creating. It just creates this awe within you. I mean, subhanAllah, we can take metal and we can make metal talk. We can take metal and we can make metal fly. We can take metal and we can make metal swim. Right? I mean, you think about this, the fact that we were able to take iron and we can take this huge tons and tons of iron and we can produce an airplane and that airplane just flies through the sky. If you just think about it with your mind, the ability to take a piece of iron, if someone said, I'm going to make this 2,000 or 5,000 pound piece of iron and it's going to fly through the sky, you would say, are you kidding me? This is so heavy. How is it going to fly? Yet human beings have that ability. They can take iron and they can make it fly like a bird. Similarly, they can take iron and they can make it like a submarine. It can just dive under the water and just comfortably travel all across the earth and no one even knows where it is. Similarly, we have this ability where we just flip open this cell phone and all of a sudden you're talking to a person thousands of miles away. So this is something that's actually produced one of the qualities of a human being, that they have the ability to take the basic material within their environment and that through their effort, they can actually produce things from that basic material. So that's actually one of the inherent characteristics within us. And each of us has a different ability. For example, one of us may have the ability, we may be an engineer, so we are able to produce various things out of metal, out of circuit boards. Another person may have the ability to program that computer, right, and be able to make it do something different. Anyway, each person becomes a master of where they apply their efforts. Now, there is one group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, and their goal and their job, they're a specific part of human beings. Their job is to take the basic human being, the person that we call the human being, and work on that human being. Now, human beings, what do? They work on the ground and they make cell phones, they work on the ground, they make airplanes, they work and all these different environmental things, and they're able to create things. But there's one special group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, and they work on human beings themselves. And those were the prophets, alayhim as-salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets, and the prophet's job was to take a person, these human beings that we see sitting around us, and to take them and to develop them. So that is actually the greatest job any human being can have. They took people as their basic material. And then they worked on people and they made them into human beings. Now what does that mean? Well, we exist as a spectrum. We, as human beings, exist along a spectrum. We can become as bad as an animal, or we can become as good as an angel. But there's a spectrum that we exist upon. Now what do we mean by as bad as an animal? Well, if we get caught up in doing what animals do, we're all caught up in focus our efforts on our food, on our housing, and on our reproduction, then that's basically what an animal does. These are actually the three things an animal does. An animal chases after food. An animal chases after housing, right? Their own territory, their own terrain, their own turf. And then they chase after reproduction. So these are the three things an animal does. That individual that focuses on those three things and makes those three things their goal, they become like an animal. And you'll see most people, although we look at them and outwardly they walk like a human being, they're just another type of animal. There's an elephant, there's an elephant, there's a tiger, there's a lion, and there's a man. All of them do the same thing. But when you take that human being and you develop it along the path of the angels, which is what? The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then and only then does that person become a real man. Man in the sense, I'm not excluding women, but what I mean is man in the sense that they fulfill their truest ability. They reach to the end of their goal. And that's what the Prophet alayhi wasalam came to do. They took human beings that were acting like animals, that were living like animals, and then they worked on them and they connected them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that those human beings became men. Men who remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is the goal of every one of the Prophets alayhi wasalam. Now, human beings, they don't become exactly like animals, exactly like angels when they're fully developed, but they come in between the spectrum. So, you'll see that in hadith, the Prophet ﷺ discouraged people from becoming animalistic. Discouraged people from focusing on their food, and just worrying about where they were going to get their food, worrying about where they were living, worrying about how they were going to do these animalistic type things. Right? And at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ discouraged people from trying to be absolutely angelic. So for example, a person would come to the Prophet ﷺ and say that I've given up sleep. I've given up food. Right? I've given up my relations with my wife. And then the Prophet ﷺ would also discourage that individual as well. So there's this balance that a human being attains in that they interact with the dunya to the extent necessary and they're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And they interact in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems for them, meaning the sharia. And actually that becomes an act of worship. And at the same time, they never let those tendencies within them, the human tendencies within them, distract them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when that combination exists, then an individual becomes a man. And this is exactly what I mentioned in the very, very beginning in the ayah that I read. Rijalun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, men. لَا تُلْحِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ. Neither does trade nor... So buying and selling does not distract them from what? أَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. From the remembrance of Allah. وَإِقَامِ السَّلَاةِ. And the establishment of salah. وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. And the paying of zakah. Now, you look at this short ayah, and it contains so many interesting benefits for the person who reflects upon the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, in what way? Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رِجَالٌ. Here he's saying to the companions, this is actually addressed to the companions in that context of the ayah, but it applies to anybody who follows the path of the companions, he calls them men. رِجَالٌ, men. In that much, just that one word is a deep, deep praise for the efforts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, let's say that all of us are students in a class. We're taking a chemistry class, right? Now the professor stands up and the professor says, you all are good students, but this is a student. He is a student. This individual is a student. Now when that person gets that praise, he really appreciates it. Why? Because the professor knows who the best student is. And he knows that the goal of everybody in that class is to become a student. So when the individual is pointed out and it's said, he is a student, this is really a student, that's when that person is really being praised. Now here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of every single type of creation, who knows what it means for a person to become a man, is saying, رِجَالٌ. Is as if it's being said to the Prophet, you have created a group of people that are men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously knows what it means to be a man in that sense, in that you fulfilled the abilities of these people to make them men. Make them men who what? What defined the men? And that's the next benefit that you take from the ayah. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ. neither buying nor selling nor this interaction with the dunya distracts them. Now notice that, first of all, the interaction of the world is referred to as a distraction, right? So all of these things, that also is a very important point that we pick up from this ayah. That there is, that this world is a distraction. And that actually the purpose of life is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what defines a man. That is what defines a human being who reaches their potential. It's not their ability to interact with the dunya. In this day and age, we look at people and we try to define them as successful based on their interaction in this world. Look at him. He's a doctor, right? Look at him. He is a lawyer. Look at him. He is a teacher. He is a professor. We define all of these things, we define these people based on what we see them to be in the dunya. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually saying that the men are whom? The men are the ones that are not distracted by the dunya, because the dunya is a distraction. Instead, they're focused on what? On the dhikr of Allah. Number one, on the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, on the establishment of salah. And number three, on the paying of zakah. And it's when these three things become perfected within a human being that that human being goes from being an animal to becoming a true man, to reaching the potential that existed within that person. So that is the goal of every single individual. And it's very important that in our minds we recognize, now we see salah as a distraction to our life in this world. How many people come to me and they say, well, can I miss my salah because I'm busy studying for my exams? Right? I have my MCAT coming up, brother, it's gonna be a really tough exam. Is it okay for me to just combine my salah because I'm studying for my MCAT? So we see salah as a distraction to what we try to achieve in this world. It's the other way around. It's the other way around. Actually, the goals that we've created for ourselves, right, these imaginary goals actually, which have no reality in the long run, all of these goals are actually the distraction from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's when a person drowns himself in the remembrance of Allah and lets nothing else distract them from the remembrance of Allah that they actually become a human being, that they become a person, they become fully developed. So that is very, very important for our own, in our own minds, to establish what is the purpose of life. What are we walking around doing? Right? What are our goals? What are our priorities? Who are we trying to be? We are trying to become men, human beings. And that's exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with his companions, is that he developed them into a group of men such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides this praise for them. Now, the other thing to recognize is here that three acts of ibadah are mentioned to define what a human being is. Number one, dhikr of Allah. So dhikr of Allah, and notice it's the first mentioned, right? Salah is a very, very important act of ibadah. And in fact, it will be the first one asked about on the Day of Judgment. But actually, the dhikr of Allah is what dominates a human being. Why? Because the dhikr of Allah is that thing that penetrates into every aspect of our lives. When we wake up with dua. We wake up thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when we go make wudu for the sake of Allah. We treat the water as if it's a resource from Allah. We prepare ourselves to present ourselves before Allah. We eat with starting with Bismillah, making the niyyah that every atom of food that we digest, every molecule of food that we digest will provide us with strength to worship Allah. So when that concept, that's called wukuf, that's what we talk about so much in a human development. When that wukuf, when that stopping of the heart upon the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists within a person, then everything becomes the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the salah becomes fine-tuning of that. The salah becomes that few moments in the day where nothing else distracts me from the remembrance of Allah. Now the problem with eating is that I have to chew and think about Allah, and it's distracting. That's how we should think about eating. The problem with having to get ready in the morning is that when I have to put my right foot in my hand, in my sleeve, then my left foot, although it is a type of ibadah, it's still not that solitude where I get to disconnect from the world completely and focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah is that khalwa. Salah is that time when we can say takbir, we say Allahu Akbar, and now there's nothing else. There's no chewing, there's no changing, there's no walking, there's no talking. There's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that actually is the pinnacle of the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the minimum. It is the peak. It is what a human being looks forward to five times a day when they're drowned in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is actually the way that you have to look at this ayah. Number one is the dhikr of Allah. They are never distracted from the dhikr of Allah. Let alone salah. Salah comes second. Actually, the dhikr of Allah is they are never distracted from. And then they're not distracted from establishment of the salah. Establishment of the salah is something we should not be distracted from. So, coming to the masjid as much as possible. Especially at Fajr, especially at Isha, when our schedules tend to be more open and we can more easily come. But as much as possible. So that also is an important part of becoming a true human being. And then finally, the paying of the zakah. Zakah is something that we have to be very careful about. Many of us have a lot of wealth. We have enormous amounts of wealth when we compare our wealth to the previous generations. Yet, we don't fulfill the rights of that wealth the way it should be fulfilled in that we're not careful about the way we calculate zakah. So anybody who wants to become a human being, who wants that the animal within them be eliminated, and that, or at least be reduced, and that they become truly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed them to become, which is a worshipper and a servant of Allah, zakah is going to be essential in that development. Of course, there's two types of zakah. One type of zakah is the mandatory 2.5% that exists on everyone's wealth, and it's essential that we sit down and think about calculating that, and learn the rulings concerning that. And then the other type of zakah is the sadaqah. And that sadaqah is extremely important as well, because the sadaqah is what extinguishes the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now on this path, when you seek the pleasure of Allah, you also can upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, anytime you get near to someone, and you begin to approach someone, you also begin to experience their closeness, and you also take the chance of making a mistake. Now you ask the students who study in the madaris, right? When they become very close to their teachers, everybody says, wow, you're so close to the teacher, but they're panicking. Because they know that just as they are close to their teacher and they receive their teacher's attention, at the same time they're also in a position where they can make a mistake. Because now they have some proximity and the teacher is going to be sensitive to them and be able to tell them things and be angry at them, perhaps for reasons that they may not become angry at the average student for. And so therefore, when an individual begins to seek nearness to Allah, as they get that nearness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may also show His wrath upon them as part of their training. Now it's not His wrath, but it's part of His distance from them. But that's a very detailed discussion. I don't want to go there. But the point is to remember that part of the development is to give regular sadaqah. The zakah is mandatory because it purifies the wealth, it brings barakah into the wealth, it brings barakah into what you spend your wealth on. But as far as it's extra, that's also essential. It extinguishes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath, according to hadith. So each of us should develop a habit, a regular habit of putting $5, $10, $15, $20, $100, $200, whatever level we're able to do, to some regular type of charity, so that one, it extinguishes Allah's wrath, and two, it acts hopefully as a sadaqah jariyah for us on the Day of Judgment, if we're wise in the way in which we make our investments. Now just as we invest our time and our wealth in this life in order to produce results, that same investment exists in the hereafter. We take our time and we invest it so that we can receive a return in the hereafter. We take our wealth and we invest it so that we can receive a yield in the hereafter. So be very, very careful about how we apply our time and wealth, because those are the two assets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a human being. So that they can, one, make themselves human beings in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes, and two, so that they can receive the reward of a human being on the Day of Judgment. So all of this basically boils down to the fact that the purpose of our gathering, this regular gathering that we have, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, of course, there's a talk, and that talk encourages us, but actually the real purpose of this gathering is that we sit down, we make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hopefully this become a habit, right? Once a week, okay, at least you come here once a week, you get that habit once a week. And believe me, it provides you a huge benefit. Let me tell you something. It's very hard to find an opportunity to become a human being. You will find many people who will train you to become physicians, to become engineers, to become doctors, to become teachers, to become qualified in the life of this world. But it's very, very hard to find those people that can train you to become a human being. So you should have qadr of that opportunity. Because that opportunity does not always exist, and it may not exist, who knows, how long. So you take, the way you have qadr of an opportunity is you take advantage of it. You do what needs to be done at that time because that window is now open. So here's an opportunity, this remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're trying to establish. Now we establish it once a week for all of our benefit. But that purpose of that establishment is that then it should be done regularly at home. There should be a time, there should be a habit, there should be a regular interaction with the Qur'an, with thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with making the various du'as that we're supposed to make at various times in the day. That then will lead you to experience what this Sunday gathering is all about. So each of us should take advantage of this opportunity. Believe me, these opportunities don't come and they don't last very, they come and then they go and they don't last very long. And when you miss it, that's when you begin to say, oh, I had that opportunity. Now I don't have it. Where am I going to go? There's so few places in the world where you find factories that produce men, that produce human beings, that take the animal within us and actually allow us to develop into something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with. That's the challenge of this gathering. So use your time wisely. Take advantage of the opportunity. Develop a habit of dhikr. Get regular into the masjid. Start moving along this path because you never know how long that opportunity will be present. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to become men, to become among those who leave the characteristics, our animal characteristics, and develop characteristics that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He give us the opportunity to take advantage of this gathering, and may He make us regular in our daily routine. Wa akhiru da'wana, anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.